Our reading tonight is in John's Gospel and in chapter 11. It's a long chapter, and we're not going to read all of it, but enough to give us something of the idea of what happens in this chapter. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode, now this is strange, isn't it? He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Verse 17, after those 2 days and the journey to get to Bethany, then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I don't know what's wrong with the schedule you're keeping. It's not just in keeping with what I think it should be. That's what her language means, really. Then Martha, as soon as she... Whoops, that's the beginning. That's the verse. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were in her house and comfort her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, just underline this statement, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. That's a favorite verse of mine, not just because when I was a child, that was the one you always resorted to when somebody wanted you to say a verse that's only got two words in it, but it is wonderfully true, to think of the eternal Son of God incarnate. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. It was evident. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. This is not the first time in our New Testament that we are brought to this home in Bethany. The Lord Jesus knew Mary and Martha previously, and we wouldn't have known previously that they had a brother Lazarus, but the Lord felt free. You can't do this in every home. The Lord felt free to knock at the door of this home in Bethany with 12 men in tow and invite himself in for a meal. And Martha was very busy to get that meal ready for the Lord Jesus. And Mary is different from Martha. And she sits and converses with the Lord Jesus and listens to him telling her truths that I would love to have heard him tell her. But now we come to John's account of this home. And this is a different setting now. What I want to just present to you tonight, I'll tell you right up front. I want to show you in this, from this chapter, from these three people, from this family, from this home, I want to show you the tremendous benefits of knowing the Lord Jesus personally. See, these three, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, at the beginning of the story, are believers. And their faith will be strengthened through the story, but they are believers on the Lord Jesus. And that divides the whole world. There are those who are believers, and there are those who have never had a moment of personal faith in Christ as Savior. And I might as well just ask everyone here tonight, has there ever been that moment in your life? Oh, you say, I've been in bad spots and I have prayed and the Lord has... Have you ever received Christ as the Savior to deliver you from your sins? Do you know tonight every sin forgiven because he died on that cross to pay for your sins? That's a wonderful blessing. That's what we're hoping for everyone that comes to these meetings. And that's why it's such a joy and privilege to us to tell you about this Savior, because he not only saves, but he transforms lives. He transforms homes. And there is nothing to be compared with knowing him personally as Savior. These three in Bethany, in some sense, give you the idea of what the Lord Jesus spoke about earlier in his ministry. He said, Enter ye in at the straight gate. So he was telling those who heard him that there is a straightened down gate where men and women can enter in by listening to his word, leaving all other ideas behind, leaving all other questions behind. They just come to this narrowed gate. And in personal faith in what he has said, they enter that gate and they begin to travel on a road that leads to life and all its fullness eternally. Heaven. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The few are on the road to heaven. The majority are on the road to destruction. In plain language, the majority are on their way to hell. That ought to move us as we preach. It ought to move everyone in the meeting tonight as you listen. Am I in the majority or am I in the minority? Those who have personally trusted Christ for salvation. These are the few. In fact, I'm not sure how much we'll point it out in the week that's coming, but in that crucial week, the Lord Jesus did not have a home in Jerusalem. That was the New York City of that day of his, in Israel. He didn't have a home to which he could retire in Jerusalem. He took the short trip out to Bethlehem. Now, if I say that again, that's going to be a problem. When he took the short trip out to Bethany, for he found a place of welcome in Bethany, in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. As far as I can tell, that's the home to which he went. The big city, the populace around the city, just a few that welcomed him. But I want to tell you tonight, it was a wonderfully privileged few. I want you to know tonight that there is a living Savior. You cannot see him here, but just as he was for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, so he is for everyone who trusts him. Their home was a significant home. It is the home not only in which the Lord Jesus found rest and comfort and companionship. It is the home in which there were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, people who were saved. But this home is also significant in this, that the Lord Jesus, we read it more than once, loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You say, wouldn't that be a wonderful home to live in? A home where the Lord Jesus actually had an infinite divine love for each person that was in that home. Would you like to live in a home like that? I can tell you tonight that that's available to every home, because the same love that he had for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus is the love that he has for every soul in this world. But the problem is, their door opened to enjoy that love. And I wonder if there are homes whose door is closed at the present time. Yes, you would love to have the love, but you don't want Christ. You're not willing to bow to submit to him. Not willing to trust him for the great problem of your sin. Mary and Martha and Lazarus enjoyed the love of the Lord Jesus. They enjoyed the experiencing of it. And I can tell you that there are homes represented in the meeting this evening of those who likewise enjoy the love of the Lord Jesus. By the grace of God, in our home, we live with the assurance and the peace that the living Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, loves us and could not love us more. I'm not boasting about that. I'm just telling you it's available to everyone in the gathering tonight. But you see, a problem came into this home. And you may say to yourself, what's the story? I thought if you lived right, you wouldn't have problems. The devil deceives people to think that those who are people of faith only trust God because he delivers them from all their problems. Tain't so. In fact, God allows those who trust him to go through the very same experiences as everyone else in the world does. But I'll tell you before I get to where I want to tell you this, I'll tell you just now. They go through the same experiences, but they go through it in an entirely different way. See, Mary and Martha are now distressed. They send for the Lord Jesus, but he doesn't come. Why is it that the Lord Jesus delays? Why is it that somehow or other, when we expect God to pick up the phone and answer, when we call, I can just assure you that he's already heard the call, and he already knows what's coming through the line. But he has greater wisdom than you do or I do. And you can tell by the end of this story that the Lord Jesus had something far better in mind for them than they had for themselves. They wanted a brother that would be free of sickness. They got to see the tremendous power of a Christ who could raise the dead. And the future for everyone in this gathering this evening is that there will be a resurrection from the dead. I can tell you, in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, there are those that will rise to condemnation, and there are those that will rise to righteousness and eternal life. But it's the same power that will bring those who have not trusted Christ from their graves to stand before God in judgment as the power that will raise those who have trusted Christ to be bodily enjoying him in heaven forever and forever. If I don't tell you this more than once tonight, I'll give you this one just for now. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Here is a home that is a sorrowful home. And I might just say at the present moment, many of the folks here are aware of this, but if you're a Christian and you pray, then do pray for Mike and Ilhi and Kim and Ryan in their particular trial at the present time. Because Christians do face sorrow. Christians do face difficulties. Christians do face things they never thought they would ever have to face. And here's a home where not only is Lazarus sick, but Lazarus is dead. And as far as life without Christ is concerned, that's the end of the story, and there's no hope. Ever live in a hopeless condition? Paul, when he writes to those who are believers, says, "At one time ye were without hope." What a difference. If only Martha and Mary had known, they learned this wonderful truth, that in the midst of their sorrow, they passed through that sorrow with the presence of the Lord Jesus to give them hope. I don't know how to convey this to you, but just to tell you, I know that when it comes to the tough days of life, it is a luxury and a necessity, but a wonderful joy to have the presence of Christ to turn to him. And I can tell you very, very clearly and very confidently tonight that when you have difficulties and you have no one to turn to, and you try turning to him, but somehow there's no connection, no relationship, what a lonely way to live. In this sorrowful home, Martha's different from Mary. The Lord knows what Mary is like. Did you notice when we read? Martha comes to tell Mary the Lord called her. Nobody came to Martha to tell her the Lord called her. As soon as she knows he's around, Martha's an active woman. I better not make any connections with any people I know or you know. But she was at it, always busy doing something. Mary is so different. She sits reflectively at home and sorrow. The delightful thing to me is this, that no matter what personality a person has, they can enjoy an unchanging relationship with a living Christ. Oh, my friend in the meeting tonight, you need Christ. You need to know him personally. You need to know his forgiveness. And you need to know him as a presence in your life, day after day, as a resource to whom you can turn, as a Savior who will transform you, deliver you, make you stand upright to face all the issues, the difficult days of life. This is a special home. John tells us in his gospel seven miracles in particular that identify Christ as God. This is the climax of all seven. That Christ actually stands by a grave and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." You could do that all day, and so could I, and nothing would happen. And every other man who has ever lived could do the same thing, and nothing would happen. He is God. And he speaks. And a body that has perhaps, as far as we know, turned corrupt into corruption is restored whole, and that man comes out of the grave alive. The tremendous power of Christ. But what I want you to know is this. That power has behind it a tender heart. That's why I just asked you to underline, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. You know what the Lord Jesus, I take it, was groaning about? Here are two sisters weeping. And the whole world is a place of tears. There is death in this world. What a tragedy sin has brought into this world. And I think beyond that, he realized this, that within just a little more than a week, he himself will die, suffering for sins. The grand difference between his death and every other death is this: his death paid for sin. His death was a voluntary, loving sacrifice that every one of us might know the blessedness of sins forgiven. Oh, my friend, tonight, there's a Savior who cares. There's a Savior who loves you. There's a Savior who is able to transform your life. He's able to change your eternity. And he is able to bring peace and deliverance and power, life-changing power, to every life in the meeting this evening. I had wanted to just say one more thing. There's plenty more in that chapter I thought I might tell you. But I can tell you this. When we moved into this area, into a house, our family moved in to a house out in Bob White Farm. We went to see the sample house first. Of course, my parents did, and Alan must have had a vote on that too. But we went to view the sample home. And I just want to tell you tonight that the little home in Bethlehem where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived is a sample home. He could live in your home too. He could bring peace and hope and deliverance and joy to your home. But you see, it's a matter of whether you're going to just keep the door closed or open to this Savior to receive him as your own personal Savior.